as he is pure. Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, let me stop there for a second. You say, wait a minute, I thought we were all sinners. Just don't get confused. There's an inner man and an outer man. And that's where, you know, we need to understand the difference between the two. So again, going back to verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So, because we're called the sons of God, that is the epitome of love. I mean, we love Him because He first loved us. We're called the sons of God, and that demonstrates how much God loves us. Look at chapter, look at chapter 4, verse 10. I already quoted this at least in part, but I think you need to see the whole thing. Love is in here, love or love, three times. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So what's the propitiation? That's the satisfaction, the pacifier, you might even say. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Now, you know, if you ever want to get encouraged, think about how much God loved you to send His Son down from heaven's glory to die on that cross. You know, here it is, Resurrection Sunday, and without the cross, there is no resurrection. So you got to talk about what came before the resurrection. That's Christ dying for our sins. Now that you look at that, I want you to go to John chapter 15. I wasn't sure which order I would do this in, but I think John chapter 15 is probably should come after the one that we just saw about Him loving us. Not that we loved Him. And listen, everybody gets the Bible out of focus. Oh, you know, you need to love God. You know, the fact is how much He loved us. And that is what will keep you encouraged. You can't hardly discourage a person whose focus is on Jesus. It just isn't there. Because everything that happens is either of God or of the devil. And if your focus is on Jesus, you say, well, if it's of God, I need a lesson I need to learn. If it's of the devil, I'm not going to let him win. Boy, there's a simplicity of life. But that's the way it is. Same way with love. Well, what if somebody doesn't love you anymore? I mean, yeah, heartbreaking. But God loves you. God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die on the cross for your sins so you can be called a son of God, a child of God. Now, look, that's all that's important. And you know what it says? And the world won't know you because of it. The world will not understand you. The world will not be able to figure out why a Christian, a martyr, can go to be burned on a stake and cry out as though he doesn't feel the flames. You study history, you study Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you see it over and over again where that happened. The religion said you can't have the Bible in your language. If you put the Bible in your language, we will kill you. And they did everything they could to thwart the devil. And guess what? When they were caught, they were burned at the stake. They were tortured. They were decapitated. And you know what? They went there knowing that the moment their life was snuffed out, they're going to see Jesus. Hey, that's my hope. You know, we get snuffed out, I'm going to go see Jesus. So in John chapter 15, look at verse 9. John 15, look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So look at that verse. As my Father hath loved me, as the Father loved Jesus, Jesus loved those that were His disciples, you. And then He says, continue ye in my love. You know why most people get off track with God? Is because they don't continue in the love of Christ. It's a choice. You can't be told to do something you can't do. And you won't be told to do something that you're not supposed to do. And you are told to continue in His love. So how do you continue in His love? Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So what are His commandments? Not the Ten Commandments or the 613 in the law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the essence of the commandments of God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You know why people don't have joy? Because they don't do what it says right there. You can't have joy in this life without love. And I know I'm in a Baptist church. You know, we hate everybody. Glad you laugh. And for the video, we don't hate everybody. But we sometimes are portrayed that way because we get frustrated with trying to help people or give them the Bible or give them the gospel and they reject it. We take it personal. And what do? We lose our joy. Don't lose your joy. Oh, I just had a fight with my spouse. Don't lose your joy. Your joy and the keeping of it is more up to you and your relationship than anything else. Don't lose your joy. Because He says right here, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That's why the word joyful exists. What is that? Full of joy. Are you a joyful person? I know we go through things. I talked to Bonnie and Dennis, and Bonnie is amazing. Dennis said he was at wit's end. I talked to Bonnie, and she said, hey, I'm still alive. And I mean, you can hear her smile in her voice. She still has joy, and Dennis does too. They're watching online if it's working. And their joy is full in excruciating pain. And you know, the only thing I could tell them was I had it not as bad as her or them or Judy or anybody else for that matter, Joanne. But it didn't last forever. And that's what you got to park on. It's not something that, you know, maybe you'll get over. And listen, it's gone on 2 months. 2 months. Now, she's had days where she's walked around the yard, but, you know, it's just tough. But you know what I heard this morning? Joy. Verse 12, this is my commandment. So here, you want to keep the commandments of God? That ye love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love you? Unconditionally. Unconditionally. You say, no, you don't understand. I can't love somebody unconditionally because they did me wrong. You love them unconditionally. I'm not saying you like them. I'm not. I don't like people, but I have a responsibility to love everybody. What does that mean? Well, you love them, what do? If you love somebody, you'll pray for them. What if you don't like somebody? You won't pray for them unless you love them. You say, how do you do that? I don't know. I never did figure it out. Just kidding. You just got to put it all aside. Put it aside. Pray for one another. Verse 12, this is my command that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. You want to be a friend of God? Do what He says. I don't want to not be a friend of God. That's a double negative. You'll see it if you're studying any grammar. I don't want to not be a friend of God. I want to be God's friend. So going back to, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know what I know about the world? We don't understand love. You know, most of the time when the world looks at love, they think lust. Lust. A desire for something you're not supposed to want. Okay? When you look at the Bible love, you ought to see Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, lifestyle, in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, that's when I got that circled in black in my Bible. Bad, 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 but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. And then it talks about quickening you and saving you. But God, I can talk about anything in this world as long as I can add but God to it, I'm not going to be discouraged. It's just not going to happen. But God. Oh, you don't understand how I had a bad day today or yesterday or last week, last month, last year, my whole life. But God, where's God? Look for God. Find God. Figure out what God is, what He means, who He is. It'll change everything about you. But God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I need to deal with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. I cringe when I hear preachers preach this verse. I cringe because it reflects not reading your Bible. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. So preachers will preach and say, see, you can't know what God's prepared for you. And I will tell you this, that's a lie. It's not true. You can know what God's prepared for you. And if you know what God's prepared for you, it's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's life-changing. Well, I just read the verse and said you can't know, right? Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You can't know, but you can, because in the Old Testament it is written, that's the quote in 9, I hath not seen, neither ear heard, or entered in the heart of man, things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, and people stop right there, and I've heard one preacher preach it 5 times, and if I thought he was open to criticism, or open to, you know, saying, hey, have you ever read verse 10 that contradicts everything you just said, I'd tell him. But some people aren't open. Some people don't want to hear it. You better always be open to hearing what others have to say. Sometimes there's an element of truth in it. Sometimes it is a blatant lie out of the pits of hell. But sometimes there's an element of truth in there regardless, and then you just have to figure out what's what, parse it and figure out and move on. But he says that, and then you go on to verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, look where we're going. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you're getting ready to find out that He can show you God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Contradicts everything in verse 9. So, if you don't read your Bible, and you stop at verse 9 because listen here, I just got to be honest with you. Preachers look for a message to preach. And they go, boy, there's verse 9, boom. But if you don't read your Bible, you won't know that 10, 11, and 12 say just the opposite. And you know what the encouraging part is? Not that you can't know, but that you can. I want to know God. I want to know the future. I want to know how all this works out and ends up. And guess what? I do know within the reason of the Bible. I don't go extra biblical on you. Well, you know, if you look at the 666 and this and that, and man, stick with the Bible. But when you get outside the Bible, you get in trouble, and even staying in the Bible, you get in trouble if you don't read your Bible. So go on back to 1 John. I was going to do verses 1 through 10, so I have to pick up the pace. So it says in that verse 1 again, after it says, behold what manner of love, then it says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You think you're misunderstood? Guess what? Join the crowd. They put Jesus on the cross for being a blasphemer. You don't think that's misunderstanding, that he's a sinner? They put him on the cross, they said, because he said he was the Son of God, making himself equal with God, and therefore they put him on the cross. And listen, they knew him not. And he didn't go around there and go, hey, let me tell you, you really need to get to know me. If you get to know me, you'll like me. And I'm all worried about that. I don't worry about whether somebody likes me or not. Would I like to be liked all the time, 100% of the time, without degree even? Oh, yeah. It's a much easier life, so to speak. But it keeps you on your toes. It makes you consider everything. And here it says, they know us not because they knew him not. If they don't know you because you are a child of God, you're in good company. Jesus wasn't known, so they didn't know him. So if they don't know you, shouldn't you have joy about that? Oh, no, I don't like somebody. You know, I don't like to be misunderstood. Who does? You get married long enough, you're going to be misunderstood once a week. Once a day. All right, once an hour. It can happen. It is what it is. Judy's smiling real big because we had that discussion this morning. I have Band-Aid on here. I go, well, I said something. She says, well, you know, people don't understand your humor sometimes. I went, well, that's their problem. We had that meeting the other night, and I wasn't even telling any jokes and had everybody laugh. And I said, I'm not even going to tell any jokes tonight. And I did bring that up to Judy when she said that. I said, well, look, the other night, I said, they were laughing and I didn't even tell a joke. They got me. Listen, just because people don't get you, listen, don't spend your whole day going, oh, woe is me, oh my, oh my. You'll be miserable to be around. I don't want to be around miserable people, and I don't want to be miserable toward others. So I suggest you do the same thing. And now look, you're not going to bat 1,000. You're going to be miserable sometimes. But find the joy, find the joy, find the joy. And if you can't find it, the problem is with you. It's not with God. Remember I said, but God, but God, but God? Now let's go ahead and go to verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So here's the thing. How do you know you have eternal security? But now we are the sons of God. Right now, right here, in present state, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, because there's so much more. But we know that, remember this knowing is in here quite a bit? When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, you're changed in the twinkling of an eye. You're changed. On the way up, twinkling of an eye. Body, the sins of the flesh are gone, and you're changed. That fast, the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about a glass darkly and we see through it. We don't really understand everything is what it's saying to us. And then he goes on in verse 3. Every man that hath this hope, what's the hope? When he shall appear, we shall be like him. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 is talking about the second coming. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's going to happen at the end of the 1,000 years. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're looking for a new heavens, new earth. We're looking for the day when everything's going to be dissolved. And then he says at the beginning of verse 11, because of that, what type of person ought you to be? You ought to be different. You ought to be different. It doesn't mean everything's going to work out fine. It doesn't mean everybody's going to love you all the time. But it means that you don't allow circumstances to control who and what you are. Look at Titus. The book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, I think. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Remember the hope I was referring to back there that it mentioned. We'll go back to it in a second. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He wants you to be peculiar. Do you know that if you live for God, you will be peculiar? You're going to be different. It's not an easy life. It's a fulfilling life. It's not a life where everything works out, nothing ever goes wrong, but it's worth living. And that's why when he goes back, look back at 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? The blessed hope I just mentioned in Titus. In him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And then Colossians 3, we could read half the chapter. Says, set your affection on things above, not on things in this earth. Where are your affections set? I mean affection. That's a strong feeling. Are they on things above or on things in the earth? If your affections are on things this earth, number one, it's all going to be dissolved. What type of person ought you to be? But if your affections are on this earth and not on heavenly things, you're going to be disappointed. Because all of it is transitory. All of it is temporary. So set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. And then, because we have this hope in us, we purify ourselves. Verse 4, whoso committeth sin, this is 1 John 3:4, transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. God was manifest in the flesh. Why was he manifested? Right there, to take away our sins. Are your sins taken away? Past, present, future. I don't mean just here and now. I mean, are they all taken away? You're still a sinner in the body, but not inside. And that's where we're going to come to some difficult verses that people just, there are whole religions, whole denominations that have been created in these verses right here and say, I never sin. Why don't you ever sin? Because the Bible says I don't sin, so I make mistakes. I was told that. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect, but I don't sin. Why? Because the Bible says right here that you don't sin. No, your inner man doesn't sin because it's been circumcised away from the flesh. You can't sin inside. You show enough can sin outside. So just get that distinction in your mind and know it for sure. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Now, how is that? Again, that's the inner man. You have an old man, new man. That old man wants to do wrong, the works of the flesh. The new man is, you know, got the fruit of the Spirit. And you decide that new man cannot sin. It's not touched by sin. It can't be condemned by sin because the new man is holy and perfect and righteous, and the one you feed will be the one that controls you. If you feed your flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You feed the Spirit through the Word of God, through prayer, through witnessing, through doing all the things you're supposed to do, being a good witness in an ungodly world. You feed that Spirit, and that Spirit cannot sin. And that's what it's talking about. So if you know people that say, well, they've never sinned, that's one of the three verses that they will use. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And we're going to go ahead and stop there because the works of the devil needs a little bit more time to look at. And it is 10:45. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for many blessings. God, lead and direct us in all things. We praise You and give You all the honor and glory in our life for all that You do. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. You're dismissed.